Today's date is April 10th of 2024. The time is 6:30 p.m. I'm calling the order of the City of Centerville Council meeting. First order of business is roll call. Councilmember Sweeney?
Here.
Councilmember Mosier?
Present.
Councilmember Koski?
Present.
Councilmember Taylor?
Present.
Ah, there we go. Junior Councilmember Sauber?
Present.
And Mayor Love is also present. This evening, if there are any members of the public that are here tonight that want to address the council for any items that is not on the agenda, please approach the desk and advise our city administrator of such. Otherwise, we're going to proceed into our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Next item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. I know we have one new business item under new business number 5. It would be the addition of consideration of a joint letter with the City of Ramsey regarding the retention of local zoning authority. Does staff have any other items to add to the agenda this evening?
We do, Mr. Mayor. In front of you, I've got a revised agenda that's got another check number in it as well, and that's for our League of Associates insurance payment. It was just we neglected to have it on the last one, and it's due, so we wanted to get it paid.
Okay.
So we have check number 36659 is added to the list of claims for consent agenda item number 1. And we're adding item number 5 in new business for the missing middle housing letter.
Is that the one I just mentioned?
Yes, that's the one.
All right, perfect. Okay. Does any council members have any other items they would like to add to the agenda this evening? Hearing none, do we have a motion for approval of the agenda with the added items?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Oh, that's right. Had to roll call. Roll call voting. Councilmember Sweeney?
Here.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Councilmember Mosier?
Aye.
Councilmember Koski?
Aye.
Councilmember Taylor?
Aye. Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. The agenda is approved as noted. Next item on the agenda is the public hearing for MS4 SWPPP annual public meeting input meeting. Minister Stotts.
Just wanted to maybe clarify if there's any other, do we want to do any public comment before?
I didn't see it on that one.
Got up, but right now would be the time if you want to address the council. We would take it. Get your name and address.
Sure, I'm Nancy Golden. My address is 1654 Lakeland Circle. I've been a Centerville resident for 26 years. I actually was holding my discussion until the traffic study on the Lawn apartment complex were to come up. So if you would, if you believe that it would be more appropriate for me to make comments then, I can certainly do it, or I can certainly share now.
I would rather you share now because that's actually not part of a public hearing, so we couldn't allow the public to come up and speak during
that. Okay, great. Well, thank you. So I have been a resident since 1998, and when my husband and I moved... When my husband and I relocated from Lake Nokomis, we chose Centerville for its small town feel. We could see the stars and for the lake. And for that, we didn't mind paying higher taxes because we had the best of both worlds. We were always told in our 26 years that the reason why our taxes were so high was that we needed businesses to come in and to offset the tax burden that we as residents were feeling. So now we've seen Amazon go in, and we've seen QuickChip go in, and yet my house value went down in the latest proposal of my taxes, but yet my taxes again went up. So my question is, who is going to benefit? How do Centerville residents benefit from the Lalonde property coming in, particularly in the thought of they're getting TIF money, which means, I don't need to expand, everyone knows that they're getting tax-free for 15 years or $2.5 million. So So when I sit here, the city doesn't seem to be benefiting from it because you're not going to be receiving tax revenue. I won't be having any reduction in my tax properties and I won't have that spread. But yet our resources are being spread even thinner. I think it's fair to say that most of Centerville are dual working income families. And a top headline in USA Today was inflation rates. They're continuing to rise. Grocery prices are up 24% in the last 2 years. Gas prices, according to WCCO, are predicted to be $4 by summertime here in Minnesota. Healthcare prices are skyrocketing. I know for myself that is a big burden. I have a son that has a chronic genetic medical condition, and our out-of-pockets with him have doubled in the past year. The market was down today, and there does not seem to be any relief in sight. And I think families are just fatigued. And I mean, that's why I want to know what's in it for Centerville. And it seems as though we're taking the first offer on pretty valuable land. I mean, I would love to have that spot up on the hill. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it feels like we're selling it out to the first bidder. And I don't feel that that's right. Not with the taxes that we all pay.
All right, thank you. Are there any other members of the public that are here tonight to address the council? And just FYI, we can't have a back and forth, so we'll just listen.
My name is Gary Reimers. I've lived in Lakeland Circle for almost 25 years now. I think most people here are concerned about the property that's being talked about being developed, and I guess why we're here. As Nancy said, Mark, very nice to respond to my letter. I appreciate that, very prompt, and address some of my concerns, but you addressed the negatives that I brought up and handled them, thank you, but I don't see any positives. And before we go forward with this project, I would really like someone to inform me of what building this project that I am literally going to be in the shadow of, and how it is going to benefit me and my family. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Any others? All right, thank you, everyone. Okay, Administrator Stotts, we're going to move to public hearing item number one, MS4 SWPPP annual public input meeting.
Yes, Mr. Mayor and Council, again, sorry for my voice, but I'm going to go through it as best I can, especially this one because it's kind of my territory. Annually, our city is required to have a public input meeting. I'm sure all these people are here to comment on the MS4 permit, I hope. We've never had this big a crowd for an MS4 permit. But so each year, as part of our requirements under this permit, we're required to have a public meeting to take input from the public on this. And so what is the MS4 permit? What is a SWIP, or SWPPP? I'm going to get into all that here in just a second. As I pull that up, again, we do this, something we do annually, and what is an MS4? So MS4 stands for Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. That means it's owned by a state, city, village, or other public entity, and that it discharges to the waters of the state. We're a city, we own a storm sewer system that includes the ponds and ditches and pipes and catch basins and all sorts of fun stuff, rain gardens, those type of things. And we discharge to a public water, and there's a number of public waters in town. Obviously the two lakes are public waters, we have Clearwater Creek, we have several ditches that are public waters. We also have a number of other things that are get into more technical the jargon about why they're a public water, some wetlands of certain size and that kind of thing. At any rate, what this permit is really allowing us to do is pollute. So back when there was the Clean Water Act passed, I think I'll get into that a little while later here, they put out a permit that said no more pollution. And so without a permit, and you got to be regulated. And so anything that's not pure water is considered pollution. And so stormwater was deemed a pollutant and therefore we needed to have a permit to operate that polluting system that we have. I think the biggest takeaway from this slide, though, that I'm glad that we have all this public here to listen, is that storm sewer is not a combined sewer. And I hope if anyone takes anything else away from us tonight, it's that the drains that are in the street do not go to the wastewater treatment plant. They go directly into the lake, not necessarily directly, but they do not go through any sort of treatment system. They do not, it's not a wastewater treatment plant somewhere that treats that. So if you're dumping a thing of oil down that drain, that's going into the lake, or one of the lakes. So that's the important takeaway here. And that's not widely known in the public. I mean, it's more and more each year, but I think, and that's because not all of them used to be. Used to be that up until 20 years ago, St. Paul and Minneapolis both had combined sewers that, you know, when you, something that went down the drain and went to the wastewater treatment plant, but that's all been separated as of now. So I don't know that there's anybody in the state really that has a combined sewer anymore. Probably there's little remnants of them, but. So who's involved with stormwater management and regulation in Centerville? And maybe the better question is who isn't? I always say if our children were as protected as our wetlands were and our waters were, we'd have very safe children. We have federal programs. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency is sort of the agent for the federal program here in the state. So the feds don't have an office. You know, it's the MPCA that has an office and here, and we deal with them. Then we have the state has its own rules and regulations that are operated by the Met Council, Department of Natural Resources, or the DNR, and the State Board of Water and Soil Resources. So sometimes on your ballot, you know, you get to vote for the Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources person. Pay attention to that person. They do have a lot of influence on what goes on around us with in terms of water resources. And then we also have a watershed district here in our area. The Rice Creek Watershed District has jurisdiction over us, and so they're involved as well. And then somewhere in the middle of that is the MS4 permit. We all have our little clause in that permit, and sometimes it makes for, you know, well-regulated stuff. Sometimes it makes for a lot of government red tape, and it gets frustrating. So that's kind of the Venn diagram of the MS4 permit. Oops. A couple of just, you know, further points of interest here. So each one of us agencies sort of has their own set of regulations. And so the federal regulations are the NPDES permit. And this is this, you can see it has a bunch of different names. National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, Municipal Separate Storm Sewer Permit. And that is, again, governed by the federal government, which passes that authority to make those rulings by, down to the state. The state also, through the Met Council and through the DNR, has what they call it used to be called the Local Surface Water Management Plan. Now it's just called the Local Water Plan. And so we have a Local Water Management Plan, I should say, an LWP. And so that is, you can find that on our website. We adopted it a couple years ago, and we're expected to adopt it every 10 years. It's kind of in cycle with the comp plan. It comes, I think, 2 years after the comp plan. So that's a whole other document that we have. And then we have the Watershed District, which has their own rules. And if I get on my soapbox once in a while, I say I really don't think their rules are, most of their rules, are necessary, because they are exactly the same as the rules in the top circle. And they're the same rules that we have as a city. And so that's my little soapbox. But nevertheless, they do have the same rules. They can be more restrictive, and sometimes they are, and that's what they would argue, is that, well, our rules are a little bit more restrictive. I will tell you that they're not much more restrictive, and it's a bit frustrating to me sometimes. Again, just the origins of the permit. EPA created this in 1972 with the Clean Water Act, and then delegated that authority to the MPCA, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. You know, each state has their own PCA. And then that agency says, Centerville, you take care of, you're going to have a permit with us. And so each of us cities, and then there's a number of different agencies. MnDOT is an MS4, the watershed is an MS4. So a lot of different entities as well, not just cities that are MS4s as well. So each of us with an MS4 permit is required to do a number of things. And it really boils down to these six things. And these six things are actually something which is required in this meeting that I have to talk about. So sorry to keep droning on, but it's required that I talk about these six things. So they're called minimum control measures. And what we do is we have a way that we do each one of these. And so public education and outreach is, you saw, maybe as you walked in, one of the little digital boards, it's a little thing about stormwater. We try to educate people on stormwater. We put things in our newsletter. You might see it in the administrator's report that comes out on an email blast. We might put a social media post out. Those are the public outreach and education. Once in a while at Fed Deluxe, or if there's a business expo, we'll have a booth there about some of that kind of stuff. So those are our number one. Our minimum control and measure number one is met by doing those things. So sometimes if you see them and you go, gosh, what, they're always doing this, there's a reason we do it. Number two is this meeting right now. So we have to have public participation and involvement. It is essentially this meeting. We can do more. We do more sometimes. We're always open to input and that kind of thing, but this is essentially minimum control and measure number two is what you're seeing tonight. Number three is illicit discharge detection and elimination. It's about what it sounds like. It means if we see something, we say something, and we could use all your help in that. So if you see a big oil slick on the road, if you see someone with a 55-gallon drum of something going down the drain, call 911. And I mean that very literally, call 911. And we actually had a couple of these this year for the first time in a number of years. Our public works department and myself as the city engineer responded to a few things that we saw or heard from the public about, and went and investigated and arranged cleanup and that kind of thing. So we actually had two little instances where we had chemical type stuff or oil type stuff spilled on or near a roadway or near a drain, and we worked with the property owner there to mitigate that. And we take them very seriously. We called the state duty officer, who's like sort of the guy waiting by the phone and to respond to these type of emergencies. So called them and made them aware of it, and went from there. So it was a very, very serious process we go through. We take that very seriously. Number four is construction site stormwater runoff and control. That's the silt fence you see around every project. It's the, when you see it blanketed with that kind of fabric, or if you see people spraying that green stuff on the open dirt, that's number four. I'm very proud to say that we work with the watershed to partner on that one, so that we both don't have to have an inspector on projects. We are now teaming up, and each of us pays half for that person to be out there, and it's been a nice partnership, and I want to thank the watershed for that partnership. Number five is a little confusing. It's called post-construction stormwater management, and it sounds a little like after things built, we're going to go out and do a bunch of stuff. What it really means is that we're going to design projects such that they function well after construction. And so this is our design standards. When you have a pond in your backyard as part of your development, there's a reason that pond is built the way it was, and that's because of the design standards that we have, and that's minimum control number five. We have to have those rules in place that mirror what the federal government regulations are. That NPDES, that was put in place a number of years ago, and it laid out these standards. If you've ever heard the term NERP pond, National Urban Runoff Program, that pond design has been around for 30 plus years, and that sort of laid the standard for those developments. If you notice, some of our developments up on the north side of town don't actually have a storm pond, and that's because they predated that NERP rule and how we're gonna treat the stormwater there. So those ponds, just for everyone's information again, a great place to say there's illicit discharge. If you see something floating in one of those ponds, that's an illicit discharge. If there's a film of oil or something back there that smells real bad, that's not just algae, let us know. Even if there's significant amount of garbage in there, we want to know that as well. Most of those ponds are set up with a skimmer structure to keep garbage in them. So, you know, if there's garbage in there, please pull it out yourself or give us a call, and we're glad to come and help you with that. It's meant to keep garbage from floating downstream. So, and then the last one, number six, is the pollution prevention and good housekeeping. That is mostly made up of street sweeping. So we are, I don't know that we're required to street sweep, but it's the most common way to meet this measure. It's the easiest and most straightforward. And really, lot of studies lately that have shown it's the biggest bang for our buck. It's fairly cheap to do. It's not a big structural thing we got to build. And it really does a number on getting phosphorus out of our lakes. So that is sort of the bulk of the presentation tonight. I will have just a couple of pictures here. Right, obviously, these are things, bad's a very relative term, but even blowing the leaves into the street is not something we want to see. Does that raise, you know, to the level of 911 illicit discharge? It's probably a little gray area. But definitely the guy on the right there, up on the top right, that is a 911 call. Absolutely. Fertilizing into the street, again, probably not a 911 call, but definitely something you can call City Hall about. We can go out, and we do, if we see people out, our public works guys are very good about it. If someone's out there doing that or blowing stuff into the street, we'll stop and talk to them and have a nice conversation about why that's not good for our lakes and streams. And then sometimes you see people, you know, maybe at businesses too, they salt the heck out of their sidewalk, and then weeks go by, there's no snow, and it's just a pile of salt left there in the spring. And that's something that's not good for us either, so. Just a couple more comments on how we do this. I think I've talked through most of these already. I'll just quick run through them in my head here. You know, we do a lot of mapping. The other thing we do is we do inspections. So each of our outfalls, we talked about outfalling to a water of the state, each of those outfall places, I think there's about 25 in town, is inspected annually. So our public works guys go out and take a picture, take a look at it. Is it blocked? Is there garbage piled up? Is there, you know, anything going on with it? Is it functioning correctly? And we'll clean it up. You know, a lot of times we're cutting down little shrubby trees, we're rearranging riprap, or, you know, that kind of thing. And then each of our 100 plus ponds are inspected on a 5-year cycle. And we look at the outlet structures. We make sure that those are functioning properly. Look at the, what we call the aquatic bench, which is often most of your ponds have little weeds growing up in that first 10 feet. That's on purpose. It acts as a filter. It also acts for plant growth there, which is good for the soaking up of the phosphorus. And we just make sure that the pond is functioning properly. Again, if you have any issues with your backyard pond, please let us know, and we're glad to come out and look at those. And we do training as well. That's something we have upped our game on a little bit. As we learned through our audit 2 years ago, police and fire are supposed to be trained on illicit discharge and detection. So not just our public works folks, but also our police and fire. And that's because they're all driving around all day, right? And they get to see if there's someone dumping something in the drain, they'll be able to see that, right? So aside from that, I think that's all I have, and I would be glad to take any questions. And Mr. Mayor, then you should open a public hearing and let the public comment. So.
Okay. Does any council members have any questions for administrator / engineer for that topic for sure? Stats.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a couple of comments if I might, as long as we have some folks in the room tonight. Mark had mentioned how we partner with the Rice Creek Watershed District, and they have a board, and every now and then they were looking for members to fill chairs on that board, and if you ever had a thought to do so, and have an impact on governing decisions, especially with water. As you can see by Mark's presentation, there are a lot of agencies that overlap with water and pollution control and all that. But that would be great if you ever saw an opening on a Rice Creek Watershed District board or anything like that. Feel free to look into it. I'm sure staff would be willing to help with that. The other thing I wanted to mention, as far as Mark, we had it in the slide up here, is leaves and grass and those kind of things. To do the best you can to keep that from going into the drains in the street, because eventually that does end up in the lakes. It composts, if you will, and it adds phosphorus to the lake, and then we get the algae and those kind of things. So one of the things we talk a lot about is how do we get our lakes clean, and that's one way to do it. Don't let your grass and your leaves go down the drain. The other thing I want to throw out there, it's not really related to this, but a little bit, is putting your sump pumps and have them drain into your sewer or into your wash basin or whatever. That does get treated. But for every gallon we dump into the sewer, that goes through treatment plants, which we pay for as taxpayers in your sewer water bills. So just some things I wanted to throw out there, Mr.
Just to be clear, do not do that.
Do not do that. Did I put it?
It's illegal.
Well, just wanted to clarify.
You don't want to do that. Do not do that kind of thing.
Run into your yard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else? Mark, what percentage would you say of our storm drain sewers that are in our streets actually run into our ponds first before they make their ways to the lakes?
I would say the entire south side of the city does.
Okay.
And I would say 50 to 60% of the north side.
So that's an important distinction for us. I mean, we're doing well, but that water still ultimately.
Yeah, and just so people know, most of the north side goes to Peltier Lake. Most of the south side goes to Centerville Lake.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, all right, thank you for that. Any other questions for Mr. Stotts? Mary doesn't look like she has any. So at this time, I'm going to open a public hearing for any public comments regarding our MS4 SWPPP annual public meeting. Any members of the public here to speak on this particular issue? All right, well, we will leave the public hearing open for a few minutes. After we get through some other business, then we'll look for a motion to close it. All right, next on our agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 27th of 2024 City Council work session and meeting minutes. Does any council members have any items they would like to have edited on those minutes? All right, would anyone like to make a motion for approval of the minutes for March 27th?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. And we will commence our roll call voting. Councilmember Sweeney?
Abstain.
Okay. Councilmember Mosier?
Yes.
You surprised me on that one, Terry. Councilmember Koski?
Aye.
Councilmember Taylor?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. Does any council members want to have any items pulled from our consent agenda for further discussion?
I have number 7.
All right, pulling number 7. And Mark, could you say again for the record what check number 36659 is for?
It's for the League of Minnesota Cities insurance, workers' comp insurance.
Okay, thank you. All right, is there any...
Yes. Mr. Mayor, item number 6 for comment, please.
All right. If there are no other items asking to be pulled, do we have a motion for approval of items 1 through 5?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We will commence roll call voting. Councilmember Sweeney?
Aye.
Councilmember Mosier?
Aye.
Councilmember Koski?
Aye.
Councilmember Taylor?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries. And now we have number 6, Councilmember Koski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to comment. Number 6 relates to an application for usage of our Lamont Park for the Boy Scouts. And Brian Peterson is a resident of Centerville and for many years has worked with the Boy Scouts as a leader in that group. And I just wanted to say thank you to Brian and the great job that he does and being a great role model for these kids. It's a lot of work. And thank the Boy Scouts for all the things that they do. I just wanted to throw that out there. And Brian, for a long time, was on our planning, our Parks and Rec, correct, as well.
He still is.
Well, still is. Thank you. Yes.
And one more thing. It's not his troop that's doing it. It's a troop
from Lino.
Yeah.
But he's involved and applied for the application. But thank you.
Any other comments in reference to item number 6? Since we have to do roll call, I'm going to take them together. So,
perfect.
Item number 7.
Darren. Yeah, I got a question here, Mark. The Rainbow Tree Care, what exactly are they treating? And if I've talked to Ryan too. If the trees are already kind of being diagnosed with, let's just kind of call it cancer, if you will, it's going to prolong the life of that tree, but ultimately it's the result. And I don't know if we should be treating them Yeah, if they're healthy and we want to do the ahead of the game, kind of like a treatment where they're going to stay healthy from the ash borer disease, that's one thing. But if they already have it and we keep treating them just to prolong the life of it, I'm not on board with that.
Yeah, and this is just re-upping their our agreement with them for them to be a preferred service provider. So this isn't a contract for them to do anything specifically for the city in terms of our park trees. We have already gone through that with them, and we have a contract with them to do a few trees in the parks. And we did all those as preventative. We didn't treat anything that was already infected. So this is just showing what we asked them to do, and we asked other firms to do is submit pricing for various types of treatments, and just pick a preferred vendor so that citizens at least kind of had some vetting of contractors done. And so the city isn't necessarily endorsing Rainbow Tree, but we're just saying they've been selected as a preferred vendor just because we've received pricing. You should look at this if you're a citizen, make sure that they're giving you this pricing, because that would be something that we would require that they do. But it's up to them and to you to decide what kinds of treatments, when, you know, again, if a tree is infected, all that kind of stuff. That's a conversation you'll have independently with Rainbow Tree. And city doesn't care one way or another if you want to treat ahead, before, during. That's up to you and Rainbow to talk that through.
Unless the tree is dying and becoming a hazard.
Yeah.
Then we care.
We don't care about the treatment. You can treat a dying tree if you like, but we care if it's diseased or dying or dead, and it poses some sort of hazard to anybody else or the public right away, we will ask that it be taken down. Yeah. Okay. At your cost, I should point out.
But the good thing about this is citizens are then able to get a preferred price, basically,
yeah. Yep.
For the treatment.
Yep.
Or cutting down of their trees.
Correct.
Anything else there?
Nope, good.
Anything else on number seven?
Yeah, yes. Mr. Mayor, I did have a couple of thoughts written down on that one too. Mark, do we know how many folks have used this?
I don't know. We haven't, you know, tracked that. Again, these are private contracts between people. I would just say, based on the number of phone calls we get, that it's a fair amount. And I've seen other tree companies in town as well. I think if people have someone they work with, you know, from time to time, that they might use them. But and again, that doesn't preclude them from using anybody else. But I bet you we get one call a week, maybe, on somebody, either their neighbor, either worried about their neighbor's trees or they're worried about their own trees, and calling to say, does the city have any program for this? And we usually just point them to this. You know, there's usually some sort of issue that comes up related to taking trees down at least once a week now, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's important because it is something that affects a lot of residents. And do we, and Mark, and this is factual, I'm just kind of hunting, do we know, have any idea how effective these treatments are, what percentage? Are we going to lose them anyway? Or, you know, I don't know, maybe we can put out something on the website about this, because I think we have something on the service itself, right? But
yeah.
What the percentages, because I have the largest tree in my yard is an ash tree, and I certainly don't want to lose it. And any idea on how often they have to be treated? And we know
any
of these?
I believe it's on a two-year cycle that we're doing it for the trees in our parks. And of course, we're not treating every ash tree in our parks. I think we chose about 15, 16 of them across the entire city to treat that were just real specimen trees. So yeah, it's not 100% effective. I'm no tree expert. I don't want to pretend to be one, but it's staving off the inevitable in some regard, right? I mean, now maybe if there's enough ash trees die and there's not enough food source and your guy survives and the ash borers move on to some other state, you know, maybe you could survive the whole thing, but
and I know we just have a large percentage of ash trees in our city, and it would be a lot different, I think, if they all had to get mowed down. And I don't know anything we can do to try to save a few anyhow, but that's all I had, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else have any comments on number seven? I would entertain a motion for approval of consent agenda items number 6 and 7.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We will call a roll. Councilmember Sweeney?
Aye.
Councilmember Mosier?
Aye.
Councilmember Koski?
Aye.
Councilmember Taylor?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries. I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing for the MS4 SWPPP.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? We will call a roll. Councilmember Sweeney?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Koski?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Aye. And I'm an aye as well. The public meeting is now closed. We do not have any old business tonight, so we're going to move into our new business agenda items. And agenda item number 1 is the personnel policy revisions. Administrator Stotts.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor and Council, last meeting we had a work session on this where we went through a little bit more detail, all the proposed changes for the personnel policy. Had a redline version for you in that packet. And what we did this time is we just made a clean version of the entire policy and just noted a few of the minor changes we made based on your comments. And I think Councilmember Taylor had something about foster kids. There was a couple other comments there just in terms of the personnel committee versus the administrator. So those things were cleaned up to the best of our trying to interpret what you were saying. And so if there were any questions on those couple items, we'd be glad to take them. Otherwise, the remainder of the document is what you saw the last time. And so, again, we'll take any questions on the whole document.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Sweeney, I'll come to you. You weren't able to be here last meeting. Any comments in reference to this at all?
No, not at this time.
All right. Thank you.
I think we get them cleared up.
All right. Thank you. Russ?
I have none on that one. So, no, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Ray, any comments, thoughts, reference to the policy?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Avery, anything?
I agree, and I appreciate the addition of the junior council member.
Thank you. I think I brought that one up. All right. Well, with that, I would entertain a motion for approval of the newly minted personnel policy.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we will commence with our roll call. Councilmember Sweeney?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Koski?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the proposed ordinance 136, second series, amending table 156A-1. Administrator Stotts, before I turn it over to you, since this is really just an adjustment to fix something that we've already reviewed, if the council so chooses, could we pass it tonight without a second reading?
You could, but I would advise not to.
Okay.
There's no reason to raise a red flag. There's no hurry on this.
Okay.
It's,
all right.
Yeah.
Good enough. Any intro you want to do with it?
It's just an unfortunate mishap. We last time when we brought this to you, the graphic was correct. It showed the P moving from one spot to the other one, but the verbiage just added the P and didn't subtract it from the other one. And so a lot of subtracted. It'll be fine.
Okay. Do any council members have any questions? It's one we reviewed before, so just a more of a typo error almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, since this is the first reading, we do not need any action on this evening, so we will move on to new business item number 3, traffic study Lalonde development. Administrator Stotts.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor and Council, as we've heard from the public and as we've reviewed this project, obviously traffic is probably the number one issue with a bullet. It seems it's the top of everyone's mind, and I think for many months now I've been talking with the developer about doing a traffic study as part of this project, and that one would be required. And of course, anything that costs money is something the developer would like to put off as long as they can and make sure that they're further along in the process before they do that, because that's not money they get back if the whole thing falls apart, right? So at this point though, I think we've got through the developer that this really needs to be done in a timely fashion so we can have these results by the time that we get to the public hearing portion of this. And so at this point in time, we're on track to do that. And we had this scope of work drafted up, and it's in your packet. And what we're doing is we're proposing that the city pay half of this. And the reason we would do that is that Vermilion Development sort of pays for itself. But we're asking that part of the scope here to be to look at traffic that's contributed from the properties to the south of the Lalonde proposal. So in some of the graphics you've seen, we sort of had them imagine, you know, a commercial or a restaurant type of use in that, I'll call it the south of Lalonde, or mm-hmm. the northwest corner of Main and Centerville Road. And so we'd like to have that evaluated as well. And that's not something the developer is, it's not part of their project, right? And so I felt like it was a partner type of opportunity for us to share in that cost of that traffic study. And the developers agreed to this cost if we would be willing to split the cost of it with them. So I think it's a fair price for the work, and it can get done in time for the public hearing. So.
Just a quick question before I pass around to council. The percentage of the land in totality, that is the Lalonde versus the rest of it, have a ballpark on that?
I don't off the top of my head. It's not, they have more than half. I mean, if you wanted to split the cost that way, yes, the developer's cost would go up a little bit.
I didn't even ask the question.
I think, it could be said, though, that the amount of traffic that could be produced, depending on what type of use, if you wanted to look at it that way, it might end up being the commercial use there that produces more traffic. I don't know that for sure, but if you're dividing it up that way, it could be looked at it that way.
Fair argument. All right, we'll see if council has any questions or comments. I'll start with you this time, Councilmember Cassidy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do, Mark, and if I understand this correctly, we are going to use the same company who did the corridor study on 20th Avenue. And I guess I'd like to hear from you. Is there a reason why we went with that company?
You know, they've been in the area, are familiar with the area. They also worked on the Amazon traffic study, so they had various information from that as well, so I thought they would give us a competitive price. I asked the developer if there was anyone they used. I said we're more than welcome to take a proposal from anyone that you would be comfortable with as well. They didn't submit anybody else. So.
Okay. You know, and the purpose for my question, I think it's important. I think this is actually a benefit, because I do feel whatever happens on 20th out here, because that's county road, Main Street's county road. So whatever development goes on, whether it's in Lino or in Centerville out on 20th, is likely to affect the traffic counts going past Main Street and Centerville Road, which is going to affect going to your folks, your access to your neighborhoods too. So I think there may be a benefit to having this company. They're already familiar with what's going on in the area, and I think that should help us get a solid data out of this too, because that's going to be important, because there's a lot of folks who brought that up. So that's about the only comment I had on that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Ray, do you have any comments or questions? None? All right. All right, Haven?
Yeah, and I probably just missed this while skimming through, but when will it be conducted and when will the study be ready to read through?
Yeah, so we're going to, the hope is to have it ready in time so that it gets into the packet that will go out for the May 7th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. So that's the goal. We're on a tight timeline, but we've been told that they can accomplish that. At a very minimum, if it didn't make it in the packet, we would be, you know, ready to present that information at the May 7th, but I'd really like to have it in the Planning Commission's packet so they can review it, the public can see it ahead of time, you know, and to come to the public hearing with that information. But so that's the timeline that we're looking at.
Thank you.
All right. Darren? Excuse me. Out of curiosity, not a quote, how many homes are we looking at on the Lino Lakes side, north and south, additional? Do you have any idea, or not overly?
Total right now, or?
Yeah, well, I mean, what's their proposal for the building that's gonna
contribute to our traffic's going all over the place with the Lino developments up 20th.
So the watermark is 850-ish homes. I think they're about 550 or so built in there. So you can imagine another 300 or so homes going in there. The property directly to the west of them and north of Centerville, I have no idea how many can fit in there. I know there's a lot of wetland, but you know, several hundred there. And then you get to a point where there's a little bit of a, gonna be a little bit of a leapfrog because there's some larger lot developments in there. The Rabine Estates there, the Rabine Street, and there's some, you know, 2.5 acre lots that won't probably get redeveloped. You'll flip over top of those, and I don't, that's probably, you know, 10, 15 years out. But and then North Point, the development to the south of us is 250 homes, plus, I believe, plus the apartment that's in there, the 55 plus, I think it is. And then you got 65 or so homes in that Nadu Acres, you know. And then there's some other filling ones there. You know, just ballparking, I would say there's probably 500 or so to the south of us, north of Birch Street. If that makes any sense, right? I mean, maybe 400 is a little closer, but somewhere in that neighborhood. And just in comparison, right, so you got 400 to the south, 850, even if you set another 400 on the Libel property, so you're talking, you know, 1,500, 1,600 homes, that's about what Centerville is. We're about 1,400 homes right now.
So they're doing that north and south on 20th?
Yep. So yeah, I mean, in the last, I mean, whenever Watermark started, the last 5 years, what was almost zero homes outside of our jurisdiction, but between the freeway and the lakes, has almost doubled the size of Centerville without Centerville approving any of those.
Because it's Lino Lakes.
Yep, correct.
It all used to be us.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. That's a lot of homes.
It is.
It's a lot of homes. Additional homes, I should say.
Anything else, Terry?
I'm good. Thank you.
Terry?
No questions.
All right. So, Mark, I kind of asked my question in advance, just trying to get a feel for if 50-50 was the right split. Obviously, I agree that we need to do the traffic study and the timing is of the essence. I think that was a great question asking why we picked them, but to me, in my mind, I thought we picked them because of timing, because they're like, oh, okay, they're familiar with the area and we need to get the study done. I think it's going to be very important that we do engage them about the property to the south, and you're right, they're not asking as a part of this development for that, and actually part of the land, a very small part of it, is actually ours. Yeah, yeah. So I guess I am okay with the 50-50 split. That was kind of the one thing I walked in thinking, can I squeeze 60-40 out of this? But I won't push that too hard as to delay the study itself. So with that, I didn't ask for, I asked right for a comment.
Yeah,
and I
did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want to make sure.
Yeah, I thought so.
Thank you, Liam.
You scared me there.
Your memory's myself. Better than mine.
All right. With that, I would entertain a motion for approval of the traffic study as presented.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right. We will commence roll. Councilmember Sweeney.
Aye.
Mosier.
Aye.
Koski.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries unanimously. All right, next item on the agenda is Resolution 24-0XX, Junior Councilmember Program Compensation. Administrator's thoughts.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, at the last workshop, we just talked through a few questions about you know, what the Junior Councilmember Program should look like going forward in terms of funding. And my voice going, I'm going to take it to Thanasi, who is the expert at this subject.
Okay, thank you. So we've had the program for a couple of years, and last year then the position started to receive compensation per meeting. So it was the same amount that our committee members and commission members receive. And the verbiage in that, in those minutes said that it would be per meeting that the junior council member would receive compensation. And so we wanted to clean up the language a little bit after the discussion that we had at the last meeting, and make it a little clearer, which I feel like we did in this resolution, So the resolution essentially says that the junior council member would receive compensation for every attended council meeting. Missed meetings would not be paid, and that they would be that attendance at events or meetings outside of the council meetings, they're not required, certainly they're encouraged, but compensation would not be provided for those, although registration could be paid for those kinds of things. And that's pretty much what it says. At the end of every year, we evaluate the program, which the program guidelines are included in the packet, and we like to do that at the end of the year so that we can ask the seated junior council member for any improvements. And going into the second year, that is actually how the junior council member program started to receive compensation, because it was at the recommendation of the first junior council member.
Okay, thank you. Does any council members have any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I have a question about, and the verbiage here under the very last line is city council meetings. So my question is, we got it in there written as required meetings, or there was a comment about required meetings, and even though, day at the Capitol is not required and they go, where are we going to land, or the League of Minnesota Cities conference or something, where are we going to land on that if it's not required but they choose to go for educational purposes? Are we going to pay them or not?
Okay, so the review of the program is usually done at the end of the year, and to me that would be program guideline enhancements, which we do every year. This is the first year that we've actually thrown in anything extra, like would you like to attend City Day on the Hill? That was not an offering in previous years. We did just so happen to win the award for the Junior Council Member Program last year, and that's how that came up. But I think, to clarify, where we stand right now, we wanted to clean up the language and make it clear that it's per city council meeting, whether it's a special called meeting or a work session or a council meeting or the retreat, certainly anything that the council goes to. But I feel like if we're going to look at the program enhancements, that's an end of the year sort of thing. Like, do we want to throw in registration to pick something? Do you want them to choose, participation in a conference for the day? There are certainly other considerations that we need to think about during that conversation, such as lodging and hotel accommodations for minors and those kinds of things. So I feel like that's a larger discussion for the program later. Day conferences and things like that, I think, are a little different, or certain offerings. But that was actually not a part of the current program guidelines.
Okay.
We just sort of said, oh, hey, would you like to, participate in that? And Avery's been exceptional. She's wanted to participate in as much as she could. So,
And if I may, Mr. Mayor, too, just so Athanasia, if we could educate the group, we have a great group in here tonight, and very much appreciated all you folks for coming out. But if we could explain what the program is, and the one thing I will add is this was a concept of our mayor here a couple of years ago to add a junior council member, which is a high school student, and it's purely educational, to get a feel for what it's like to sit up here and do this kind of I don't want to call it an activity, it's not work either, but to participate in your community in decision making. So I think it was a great program, the first in the state to do it at a city council level. It is something the city won an award for, and a lot of cities are picking up on it now, and even some of the local news media is picking up on it too, with other cities jumping on board. But all started by our mayor here too, so a great idea. And I thought I'd see if you want to throw any other details of what it's all about.
Yeah, certainly. So like I said, we've started a couple of years ago, and the process involves working through the Centennial School District. We talk with the teachers and the principal, and they select a student that they think would be an excellent choice for us. The council interviews that student, and we make sure that the student can attend all of the city council meetings, make sure there's not scheduling conflicts, that kind of thing. And then it's really just about giving them a voice in the community, and certainly they bring fresh ideas and perspectives that everybody else seated here is not able, you know, to do, because everybody has their own ideas and thoughts. It's been an excellent program. Like Russ said, it won an award at the League of Minnesota Cities last year. And every year, at the end of the year, we try to take input. We like to give the junior council member an entire year and then say, you know, what was the experience like for you and what kind of improvements would you recommend to the program? And every year we incorporate some changes to the next year's program. So we've done that every year. And the first thing that was recommended was, you know, compensation or maybe money toward a scholarship or some kind of a, you know, trade school, post-secondary college, and that kind of thing. So we continue to enhance the program based on feedback from the seated junior council member.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments in reference to, yes, Darren?
I understand we're not changing anything tonight, but I think immediately, though, if that position goes out to any events, they get reimbursement for mileage, parking, and
right.
Either a stipend for lunch, or if she's with one of you guys, buy the lunch and expense that I would. I mean, are we under that program or?
This is just for compensation at meetings.
Okay.
So that is more of like a personnel policy sort of thing. And yes, if somebody's going to attend the conference, then that's just assumed that there would be, you know, a stipend for lunch and that sort of thing.
All right, I just want to make sure.
And then as you look at this program at the end of the year, and certainly the budget is coming up, then you'll have some things to think about. You know, how much do you want to put aside to fund the program? Do you want to put in a couple $100 a year to allow the junior council member to attend certain conferences or registrations? Or, you know, that's really your choice.
Very good. Thank you.
We made sure she was fed at the last one.
Yeah.
I did eat.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Any other comments or questions? All right. I'm glad you asked that question, because I read it and kind of wrote down in my notes, well, I don't know if we got to what we were trying to change, not realizing we actually weren't changing anything.
No, but
anything,
we have
so.
It. The question that came up is if it was per meeting or per
right.
City council meeting. So we just wanted to clarify based
right.
on the discussion.
And in my mind, I was looking for the change, the solution, but we're waiting for that. So
for the guidelines,
I'm now very clear on that. So yeah, I think we read it the same, looking for the answer, right? All right, with that, I would entertain a motion for approval of Resolution 24-0XX Junior Councilmember Program Compensation.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Oh.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, I almost said hearing everyone said aye, but I'm doing roll call tonight. Councilmember Sweeney.
Aye.
Councilmember Mosier.
Aye.
Councilmember Koski.
Aye.
Councilmember Taylor.
Aye. Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. All right, the last new business item is the joint letter to governor and legislatures missing middle housing bills. I liked my title better. That just sounds...
I keep putting quotations because I don't want to legitimize their title.
Okay.
So we were contacted by the city, Mr. Mayor and Council. In front of you, in paper copy, you have a two-page letter that was drafted by the city of Ramsey. And they're asking other cities if they'd like to sign on to that letter. This is something city's doing from time to time when there's a legislative issue that we all kind of coalesce around. And obviously there's more power in numbers. If you could send the legislature the same letter from everybody, they start to see that, boy, all cities really agree with this. So it was, obviously this came to us after the packet went out, so I didn't have a chance to get it in your packet. And the deadline for getting this to our governor and to the legislature in time to make any difference is kind of very quick here, so I didn't want to wait till the next meeting. And so I've got it in front of you. Just a reminder, we've done a number of things. We have, during our day at the Hill, personally talked with, and that's myself, the mayor, our junior council member, and council member Taylor, all sat and talked with both our state senator, Senator Gustafson, and our state representative, Mr. Engen, about this issue in very deep detail. And just for people's information, what's happening is that the legislature right now, there are a number of bills being proposed to usurp the local control over zoning, and not just like barely take some control, like take major control. So like going into your development where you have single family homes and putting up a duplex, a triplex, a quadplex, up to an eightplex without the city having any control of that whatsoever. In other words, by right, you would be able to sell your house to a developer and they would be able to put up to an eightplex without a public hearing, without you given a chance to come in and talk about that, without the council being able to put restrictions on that, without there being any restriction on parking, lot size, just a number of things that are just out of this world. We've never seen like this in my 20 years in the business. And so, you know, this council has not, for better or for worse, we have not made a practice over the last 20 years of getting real involved in legislation. You know, we haven't put out some cities and bigger cities, you'll see Blaine, the whole legislative platform. We haven't done that, and it's part of our being a small town, I think. But this one is pretty egregious. And so, again, we had extensive conversation with our legislators. Even shook hands with the governor. I don't know if that came up in the brief conversation, but we've been to the highest level. We also passed a resolution one meeting or two meetings ago, sent that on to our legislators, laying out our position, very similar to what's written in this letter. And then we followed up. I've probably had a half a dozen emails back and forth with each of them, Senator Gustafson and Councilor Representative Engen, on this issue. So we've been very active in lobbying our position on this. That being said, there's no reason you can't do more. And if you'd like to sign on to this letter, staff is supportive of that. If you don't want to, certainly, the reasons you might not want to is just because it's a lengthy letter. You've had a day roughly to look at it. There's a lot there. If you don't agree with one thing and you want to tweak this language or tweak that language, that gets to be problematic. And I would say if you're hesitating because of one of those things, I would just encourage you to leave what we've done alone and leave it stand on its own. But if you agree with everything that's written in that letter, let's go for it. So it's a very important issue. For the public's knowledge again, this isn't just some weird old bill that's going to sit on the shelf and never see the light of day. This got hearings at committee levels and is and was very close to like either making it a part of the omnibus bill, which really would be problematic because then there's no way anyone's going to vote against the omnibus bill just for this little bill, or making it on its own because it has bipartisan support in some regard. There are both people from both parties that are signed on to this bill and very active in this bill. And if I didn't mention too, I don't mean to ramble on too much here, but the purpose of the bill, the purported purpose of the bill, is to make affordable housing by allowing, in their minds, cutting red tape and allowing developers to come in and add houses where, it's otherwise been tough to do because there's so much red tape at the government. You know, the city councils are always telling people no, and they're always doing this and do that. And, quite frankly, it's usually what they're also sort of upset about is neighbors coming out and opposing a new project because they don't like it next to them, right? And so one way to cut that out is to say it's your right to do it and not even allow public hearings. And so, that's part of what this bill purports to do, is that it's going to solve the housing crisis by allowing people to build whatever, wherever. So,
basically removing zoning.
Almost entirely removing zoning.
All right.
One of the bills has it as a right to, in any commercial district, you can plop a residential building. So,
yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
All right. And Mark asked me last night if I wanted to bring this before council, and I thought, it appears that the current legislation is not going to move forward in the way that it is. And as Mark noted, we've already sent the letter, so we have done this already. But I also did not want to take an opportunity away from the council to continue to have our voice heard if the council so chooses to do so. So I know this was last minute on the agenda, but that was at my request. So I just want everyone to know that. All right, I will just simply ask if anyone wants to make any comment or not. Actually, I'll just go around. Avery, I'll start with you. You were at the Capitol with us.
I was. I think this letter is a very important thing. I definitely support sending this. I think some of the verbiage in here is very well put, especially I'm looking at the line where it says, limiting public hearings not only restricts the voices of constituents, but removes the ability of the public to comment to affect positive change to development proposals. That's one of the things in the bill, is that you're not allowed to have public hearings on any proposed development in any part of this bill. So, and that's something that particularly bothers me. So I think this is important. I support this. I think anything we can do to resist this piece of legislation, even though you said it seems like it might not go through, is important. So,
yeah, I say it that way because I know they tend to attach things to other things every once in a while, and you get unintended laws in place that you go, where'd that come from? I thought it was gone. So I never say it's over until the whole ball of wax is over. Ray, any comments?
All
right, thank you. Terry?
Did our last letter, did we send it to the legislature or to the governor or to both?
I don't think it went to the governor, but
I'll let Mark. Did not go to the governor.
Because I'm looking at this one. This one is specifically addressed to the governor.
Then it's CC'd to the two representatives, or not to the
legislature.
To the legislature in general.
The legislature. Yeah, and I did read through it here today, and just in case anybody might be interested, there's three different bills that are referenced in this if you want to contact your legislatures. Legislative bills HF 4009/SF3964, HF 4010/SF3980, and HF 1667/SF1370. And I think as everybody else has mentioned, this is not just about, well, it is about the state taking away our local control. And I know a lot of people hear about the Lalonde property and want to express their opinion. You wouldn't be able to do this. If the state decided that they wanted to put that apartment building in the middle of your neighborhood, you couldn't stop. And I'm a firm believer in smaller government and local government and being able to have people have their input. I would say we should send this letter off directly to the governor and copy the legislators, just because it seems like, and it's kind of stated in a way, this letter, that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And you know, there's a paragraph that says that the legislation would appear to be a case study of special interests and uninformed reformers seeking to impose a harmful outcome for most citizens in the cities we represent. And I agree with that. If you're taking away local control, you're not listening to the local municipalities.
Right.
So I'd say that sign it, send it.
Okay.
Darren? Yeah, just to add a little bit to what Terry has said, I've seen this on the news in a couple different ways, and they've watered it down by, and that's what I'm calling it, watered it down, by saying that it's going to create more jobs.
Yeah.
It's going to, there's builders out there that are just itching to build, create more populations.
Affordable
in
housing.
Cities. We have some affordable housing. And like, we have things zoned to kind of, you know, what we call makes sense for what they call, and what they're want to do is just take over and say we're doing this here, and there's no input, and there's no, it's over, they're building it. So it's been on the news. I think the one that they spoke about the most was the representative of Richfield, I think. And like I said, it's been watered down a little bit. So this, in my opinion, is very, very important. And I've personally tried to get a hold of Gustafson since March 22nd and still have had no return phone call. I've had texts through her supporter about she'll get back to me and back to me, back to me. But I have not heard back from Heather, and I started that on March 22nd. Thank you.
Russ? Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I don't know what I could say other than what has already been said, other than to very simplistically say to this group, and what a great night for you folks to be here, but we wouldn't be talking about this apartment and this property if this bill were to go through. The state makes the decision on zoning, period, where you put businesses, where you put... So if I wanted to sell my house, I'm on a corner, and I want to sell my house, the state would have control. They could put a 25-unit apartment there, right in the middle of a neighborhood. You would have no say, no public hearing, no input. That is what this is doing. And it housing, in the purpose, Mark stated the purpose is to address affordable housing. Just my opinion, I don't know how this does it. Because it costs so much to put up a building, right? The cost is a cost. You have a mortgage payment to make on that building. You're still going to have to collect so much rent per unit to pay for it. I don't know how it addresses anything unless some entity would come in and help pay for part of the rent. So this makes no sense. You can take your small communities, and it's not just our area, it's the whole state. So you could go live in Bemidji and have the same thing happen there. It doesn't matter. Or Brainerd, or on a lake somewhere. It doesn't matter. You think you got a nice cabin on a lake, they're going to take over zoning on all of it. So I have never seen or heard anything like this before in all my years of kind of watching politics to some degree, and I don't like to get overly political, but this one's a bugger. And the more people that talk about it and talk to your legislatures, the better results we're going to have with it. So I would support this letter, Mr. Mayor, and appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I think this really outlines the reason we go to some of these conferences. I mean, I had no idea this was even going on. It wasn't on my radar, and we're sitting there at the conference, and suddenly they're up on stage talking about it. My ears perked up, like, what's going on here? And I remember texting Administrator Stott saying, well, this wasn't on my list to talk about today with the senator and the representative, but now it's number one on my list to talk about. So if we don't get to talk about anything else, we need to talk about this. And the examples I gave Senator Gustafson specifically was, I could see a situation, we live on the cul-de-sac, we live right next door to one another, where someone would come in and buy his house in the middle of the cul-de-sac and put up an eightplex, which then would generate four or five more eightplexes because, you know, literally right at the end of a cul-de-sac. And I said, I don't think that's the intended purpose. That's why we have zoning. And that didn't get much reply. And I said, but then someone could build a house right next to Amazon and a lot across the street. We're supposed to put storage buildings there, but they could just decide to build a house. That she didn't think was a great idea. That one got a little bit more of a reply and thought, well, they shouldn't be able to do that. But with that said, this letter, the only part of it I actually read, I mean, it felt very passionate and directive and well-written, but it mentions the special interest group not answerable to any communities. I don't know who they are that they're trying to point out. And it just feels odd to me to sign on to a letter where, I mean, I think I might know, but I'm not sure who they are. Do you see any issues with that, Mark, or just your thoughts?
No, I mean, special interest is a pretty broad category, and I don't care if we're not getting ourselves in any legal trouble, are we?
No.
Okay. Free speech, right? but, I mean, it's builders groups that are doing it without naming specific groups. It's realtor groups. It's labor unions. It's There's this fallacy, in my opinion, that this would create jobs, this would finally open the door to let builders be free to build. And, you know, I would just invite any builder that's looking for a place to build, we've got empty
lots.
Lock 7.
For a buck.
For a dollar, we've got lots.
Yeah, I mean, we'll sell it to you.
It's not about a lack of inventory of places to build in lots. And we've got lots of all types. We got lots for apartments. We got lots for single families. We got lots for eightplexes. We got, most cities have a zoning map that has all sorts of stuff. And it baffles me. But.
All right. Well, with that said, and I do have to say, you brought it up, and she said it, so I think it's public knowledge. She said, well, you know, I also have to listen to the interests of my labor group that are coming to me. So I found that to be an interesting comment as well, whereas it's our city. So we're on the ground, and as this letter says, we're front and center, so we have the best feel for it, and we live in these communities. All right, with that, I would entertain a motion based on what everyone said. I guess I'll ask for a motion for approval of, I'm not going to call it the missing middle housing. I'm just going to say for the noted letter.
The Ramsey letter.
Yes.
Attention of City Zoning Authority.
That works.
Yeah.
I think that's what I called it when I read it off earlier.
It's right on the letter.
Yeah, that's why I called it that. Still entertaining a motion.
Motion.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, we will call roll. Councilmember Sweeney?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Koski?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Oh, there she went. And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries unanimously. All right, that is the end of our scheduled agenda items. We will move into administrator announcements and updates. Administrator Stotts.
I'm going to ask Athanasia to try to take the administrator's report if her voice is any better than mine.
Okay.
Pull it up. Okay. So first we have a nice visual in front of you for the town hall open house meeting that we had. This visual is representation of the comments that we received on community priorities for what residents in the community would like to see. You could see one was a community center. And then certainly lesser is a skate park and that kind of thing. What we plan to do is take these boards out into the community, take them to other venues, and engage with other demographic groups so that we can get a variety of feedback. And then we can, you know, go through the numbers again. But this is, we had a great turnout. More than 40 people attended the town hall meeting, which was exceptional. And then we have a bunch of comments, miscellaneous comments on the bottom that were not on the board. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take feedback from residents and also feedback from non-residents so that we can have an even better idea of things that people would like to see when they come to the community.
Thanasia, quick question for you.
Yes.
I was asked the question, do the color dots mean anything? So the various colors.
Yes, they do. If you look at the key, can you go down a little bit?
Ranking by color.
Yes.
I tried to say that, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so when I had the question too when I first looked at it, I just counted the dots. But the blue one is the number one priority, so you have to add up all of the blue dots for the priority, and then that's how you actually get it. We actually have the graph isn't in this. So Bruce prepared a graph that actually, I guess, visually represents it a little bit better, so you can clearly see the community center was number one, and we will put that graphic in the next admin report. But yes, you do have to kind of interpret this a little bit in this particular visual.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome, but the key is up at the top. And then this time for Centerville Cares. Then we have senior low-income property tax assistance in Anoka County. So there's a schedule right here, several weeks in a row. If you need help, or people that are seniors or low-income, they need help with their taxes, then you can actually reach out. There's a number down here. They have virtual appointments, and then there's also a schedule with locations and and dates.
I could take that a little one next.
Yeah, Mark is going to go over the engineering one.
The 20th Avenue corridor study, County 54, was the day after the town hall meeting. We had a nice turnout for that one as well. I don't have a graphic up here, but it's just too big to really display anything. But really nice feedback, and we've gotten a lot of feedback since then as well. So if you still have feedback on that corridor study, we still take that. They are finishing up the final design. So just in general, what that corridor study is it's looking at 20th Avenue or County 54 from Birch Street up to 73rd, basically the northern limits of our city to the southern limits. And so it is evaluating, you know, what the future of that road looks like. And that future might, in some areas, might be a year or two away. That future might be 5 years, 10 years, maybe even up to 20 years away. What we're trying to do is map out what that's going to look like at some point in the future, whether that's driven by organic traffic growth, as like Councilmember Mosher was saying, from places all around us. Is it, maybe it's the building of an Aldi at the corner of 20th and Main. Maybe it's other development along that corridor somehow. It's a conglomeration of all those things. And so there might be some trigger points where we have to do a portion of that project, or maybe we're going to do it all at once. We don't really know yet. What I do know is that it's not on the city's capital improvement plan yet, and it's not on any county capital improvement plan yet. So it's not programmed into anyone's budget yet, so the likelihood that it's going to like just take off tomorrow is pretty low. There might be pieces of it that we do, you know, one at a time. But the larger project will be several years out just because of the fact that we don't pull off the program into our budgets. So again, the idea is just to, we all understand that that corridor, if you've driven it, it's starting to feel a little bit crowded and a little bit out of date. That road just isn't built the way it should be for how much traffic and what the speeds are there. I think one thing that everybody agreed on was that they'd like to see the speed come down, and that's kind of rare for the county to agree with that. Their business is moving traffic. But I think everyone understood that this area is becoming more urban. It's becoming just more businesses, entrances, more conflict points. And so this study is going to try to mitigate those issues. The other thing that struck me from the open house was that I thought roundabouts were kind of a 50-50, like red state, blue state kind of thing. It's 90-10. People love roundabouts. At least that was the sentiment from the people that showed up. So, you know, I was surprised by that. I thought it would be much more of a mixed bag of opinion, but most folks were embracing. We had two options there. One was sort of a roundabout heavy option. One was a non-roundabout option. People were embracing the roundabout option. It likely won't just be one or the other. It'll be a mix of the two options. So I think probably what's going to come out of this will, at a minimum, will be that there will be a roundabout, likely at 73rd and Centerville Road, and 20th Avenue, sorry, 73rd and 20th Avenue, and one likely at Birch and 20th, and maybe a couple in between, but on the ends of this corridor to sort of let people know and set the tone that you're coming into a more urban area, you need to slow down, you need to be aware of your surroundings, you know, change the character of that corridor and the context of it, and so that we can affect speed downward. I think that is going to be a tool that we'll use and abuse them. So beyond that, you know, we'll kind of see what the final design looks like based on what the consultant heard from everybody and what the county's input is. And then the next step will be to kind of publish that and put it out there for folks to be aware of. And then it'll just be about paying attention to when things happen and where there's funding available and all that kind of stuff. So, and that will all probably be finalized within the next 2 months or so.
Okay, and so here we have some of our summer programming. We have Music in the Park. The schedule is up there from June 11th to July 30th. Fete de Lux is between July 16th and July 20th. In Main Street Market, we have July 18th through August 22nd. There's also an annual parks cleanup, looks like. It is scheduled on April 22nd.
27th.
I'm sorry, 27th. Need new glasses. Okay, and so if you would like to do that, you can go ahead and contact City Hall, and we can go ahead and help you get situated there. We have some upcoming economic development meetings. So the chamber has a monthly board meeting, actually tomorrow. It's via Zoom, and then there's a lunch and learn, improving your network. That is going to be at Kelly's Corner on the 18th. And then the annual Economic Development Workforce Summit, put on by the county, is actually going to be May 8th. It's already got about 110 people registered. So if you would like to attend that, you probably want to go ahead and register quickly because space is limited. The presentations are by the folks on the right. So you've got InVent, Deed, and a couple others. And then it's a 3-hour event with an hour of networking and snacks after. With our public works, then we are hiring. So we have seasonal positions for parks maintenance. And you have a couple interviews.
Yeah, so we have some interviews for the full-time position scheduled for tomorrow. So we're going to be interviewing, I believe, 5 total candidates for the permanent position on our public works staff.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
We have our Centerville Lake Alum treatment. There's a public hearing that Rice Creek Watershed District is having tomorrow night. It is from 5 to 6, and it looks like it's at the Wargo Nature Center. And there's a nice little graphic. If you'll go to the next page, Mark. A little bit more. Oh, yeah. This little graphic is made. It just kind of goes through the alum treatment process, just so you can see how the phosphorus settles to the bottom and the lake gets clear. And that process is very quick, within about a week. Then the lake hopefully will look like the picture on the very bottom. extra DWI patrols.
The police, just you've seen a couple signs around town. Just be aware that there's extra DWI patrols out there. That's a state-funded program, so our officers sign up to do these extra shifts, and then our department gets reimbursed. So it's now at no cost to our local department. So.
We swore in 2 new P&Z commissioners at the last Planning and Zoning Commission. On the left, we have Jeannie Sepala, and on the right, we have Matthew McKay. They attended their first meeting, and they both are on board and doing a great job already.
And obviously, we've talked a little bit about the Lalonde project today. I want to just let everyone know, we did receive a formal application, so that's something that's new, is that on Monday, we received a formal application for the preliminary plat and the plan unit development. Those are the two zoning applications that were necessary for the project to take the process to move forward. And those have some time limits on them. The preliminary plat, I believe, is 120 days, and the PUD is a 60-day. We can extend that 60-day up to another 60 days. We'll likely do that. We don't anticipate going out to the full 120 days, but we just, in the back of everyone's mind, we have to understand that sometimes things feel like they're moving pretty quickly, and that's because long ago the state took control of some of this and said, by golly, I think what was happening there is the cities were sitting on these and taking way more time than they should have. And so the state stepped in and said, you're gonna tell people up or down within 60 or 120 days, depending on what type of application. So we do have a time limit on that. We can't just, debate this for years and years. So we are bound to that time limit. And if we don't act, then it is deemed approved. So we do need to act one way or another. We do have a public hearing scheduled for May 7th. It is scheduled to be at the St. Jens Community Center. So that's the new building, new St. Jens. We'd like to be in that front room. They have a little fellowship hall there. Just a little bit bigger venue, as you can see. You get a little bit of interest. This room gets pretty crowded. And we want to make sure everyone has a chance to be heard and not be spilling out in the hallway and that kind of stuff. So the Planning and Zoning Commission will be the public hearing for the Lalonde project on May 7th, 6:30 p.m. start time for that. And that is your official opportunity to address the Planning Commission, and in by proxy, the City Council will be made aware of those minutes. I'm sure all the City Council will be watching at home. They likely won't be at the meeting just because of the quorum issues, but they are going to be made very aware of all the public comments. They'll be given sort of a rundown of all the public comments, you know, sort of a draft set of minutes from that meeting. And so that is your opportunity to come and be heard. And we hope you do come and give your public commentary at that point in time. We're also going to try to, as part of that, put forward everything we've received so far in terms of emails to us. We'll put that in a sort of the packet that's put in front of the Planning Commission and it goes out to the public. Will be public emails we've received on the topic, and so that can become a part of the public record as well, so people have a chance to read everything we've heard from the public prior to this, and then plus all the public hearing notes that we'll get at the hearing. And from there, the Planning and Zoning Commission will likely act that night on the application, and so they'll have the public hearing, and then close the public hearing, have their own debate, and then make a decision on the application. From there, it will get passed on to the City Council, either a recommendation to approve or deny. And in either case, the recommendation will come forward to the Planning or the City Council. That application, so the way the month works out, the Planning Commission is only a day ahead of the City Council. We will definitely not, you have my word on this, we will not have the application on the City Council meeting the day after the Planning Commission, because of course we need to have a packet put together ahead of that, and they won't be able to get all the information. So at the earliest, it would be the second meeting of the month, the May, whatever the fourth Wednesday in May is, it would be that City Council meeting would be the earliest we would have it on the City Council agenda. And if not, we would likely push it to that first meeting in June. Just I'm belaboring this point here because I want to get all the information out. We've got a great group of the public here. I want them all to hear this. The City Council meeting is not a public hearing. And so unless the mayor or the chair, whoever's chairing the meeting that night, wanted to allow additional public commentary, they could. But the Planning Commission meeting is the opportunity for you to be heard. And so we encourage you to be there and make your voice heard. If you can't make it that night, send us an email so we can get it on the public record. The City Council typically does not take more public commentary because the idea is that we don't need to do this 12 times, and what's the point of having the Planning Commission hear your commentary if you're just going to repeat it to the City Council? And so, again, the Planning Commission, that public hearing is the public hearing for the meeting, for the development. There will be a second public hearing. There will be a separate public hearing for the consideration of tax increment financing if the council chooses to offer that formally. So that process itself will have a separate public hearing process. That will likely be at a City Council meeting. It may be that same night that we consider the development. It may be a separate night. You'll stay tuned, and I'm sure we'll be getting that information out in all the, call it all platforms. Have it on social media, we'll have it in our admin report, all that kind of stuff. But stay tuned for that. So two public hearings coming up, one for the development at the Planning Commission, one for tax increment financing, likely coming at a council meeting sometime after that. So those will be the two times that we'd like to hear from you. With anything, is there anything else on that development that you guys would like me to cover, guys or gals?
I would just say if anyone's not on the email listing,
yeah, great opportunity to do so. This report you're seeing, if you don't recognize that report, see me afterwards or whatever, or email City Hall and let us know that you want to be included on our email blast. We send this out every 2 weeks along with the council information, so this is a good way to keep up with what's going on in town. So
at the last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, then the commission reviewed a preliminary plat and PUD for Peltier Estates. Nothing has changed since the first or second submittal in 2017 and 2021. The documents you'll be reviewing at the next council meeting on the 24th is going to be a revised conditional use permit, the preliminary and the final plat, the HOA documents, and was that everything?
Yeah, I mean, it's the entire development package, essentially.
And the developer's agreement. So you'll have, you'll review those at the April 24th council meeting.
Just for everyone's reference, that's the proposed 24-unit detached townhome development on the northeast side of town. So north of 73rd, north of Deer Pass, 19 acres there, that's on the north end of town. And that would be the last development in town. We were fully built out in that direction. Just a real quick blurb about Baby Villas. I know it's been frustrating because that development does not come off this list, but they are finally, I saw it today, they have the approved wetland plan, so all the agencies I mentioned before are all there and have all approved it. Now it has to go for one last approval and at the state level, and then it's good to go, and then the developer purchases the wetland credits. And it's on to, we can actually file that project out. So very excited to do that.
And then we have some community engagement numbers for you. So we have the website information from March, as well as the items that we've had on our newsflash on the front page. So we've listed them and then also visually shown them. So there's quite a few of those. These are the social media. Stats as well, community email list, 252 email addresses. Like Mark said, if you want to be added to the mailing list and you're not on that, just let us know after the meeting. We'll be happy to add you and you'll receive additional communications from the city. Business emails, about 60 email addresses there. And then some updated information on our Google Business profile.
That's it.
All right. Any questions for the duo here that gave us the report tonight? All right, if there are no questions, we will move through the rest of council, see if there are other announcements and updates. I believe we'll go to Councilmember Sweeney.
Yeah, I just had it here and now I bumped my computer and it flashed away from me. Park and Recs had a new committee member sworn in on April 4th, Katya Port. They also are going to be looking at, after they went through and saw the chart and what the community had input for priorities, they are going to meet a little bit more on that. Athanasia mentioned the Music in the Park. That is all summer long, and I think Brian from Park and Rec said he has one night that he doesn't have anybody committed to, but he's working on it. The Main Street Market, $25 if you want to be part of it, and there's a registration on the website. They have currently 14 vendors. Some of the vendors that are going to be down there, North Star Pies, Egg Roll Queen Food Truck, Great Duck Concessions, Thumbs Cookies. It seems to be a pretty good draw. And it's usually down at the school parking lot. And then just in addition to the cleanup, the Centennial Little League is going to be working on Lamont Park on April 22nd. Again, anybody that wants to help with park cleanup, get a hold of the Little League if you want to help Lamont Park or the Scouts for on the 27th. I think that's about it for Park and Rec.
All right, thank you. Darren?
Nothing from the Police Governing Board, and we didn't have economic development last week. We had it last month, so we already covered that. I'm good.
All right, thank you. Russ?
Mr. Mayor, first of all, thank you for filling in for me at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting last week. I was out of town, so I appreciate that. Would like to say welcome to Katya Port, to Parks and Rec, And of course, Jeannie Seppala and Matthew McCabe to Planning and Zoning, our new commission's members there, so welcome to them. We have a Fire Steering Committee meeting, Mark, I believe, coming up this month. I don't have my calendar with me.
Next week.
And so I just wanted to throw that date out there a week from tomorrow. So if I'm really good at math, it'd be the 18th. So, but I'm not that good at math, so. Then I would like to make a comment, Mark, on the administrator's report and putting the survey results from our open house that night. And there's a few different things that popped out, but the one thing that I really, really appreciated is the, we get that little graph back up there, was the number of folks that wanted to see a veterans and first responder memorial. And I'll just throw it out there. I'm just a big supporter of those who wear a uniform, or military, or police, or first responders in fire, and the things that they do. I've said it more than once before, I'll be in a nice warm living room somewhere at a kitchen or a dining room table somewhere on a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner and eat more than I should. But we got our first responders and law enforcement and whatnot out there putting out fires, helping people going up the road or whatever it may be. So in our military, I'm just a big supporter, and I was very pleased to see that get such a great response that it would be nice to have a memorial in our city. It says a lot about the people that live here, so they care. So appreciate that very much, Mr. Mayor. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ray, any announcements or updates?
No.
All right. Thank you. Avery?
Okay. I'll try to make this quick. For the school, we're fully in the fourth quarter. Our juniors finished up their state testing on Tuesday, and our sophomores did, and our juniors took the ACT, including me. Spring sports are in swing. Track had their first meet, I believe, on Thursday. Our baseball and softball teams are making really good winning streaks. In fact, both teams beat Blaine, I think, last week, which is always good news. Lacrosse has, our girls have our home opener on Friday, and our boys have their first game next week. For me, this is my last meeting before an unfortunate string of meetings I will not be able to attend, but fret not, I shall hopefully still have comments on the packet. I also, Planning and Zoning had a training day for their new members, and I attended with Ray, and that was very informative. Mm-hmm. Interesting meeting to attend.
You might as well announce your...
Oh, yeah, I guess if you're interested in buying a ticket to come to the Girls Lacrosse fundraiser, you can come see me after. I've got a few.
All right, thank you. Kurt, anything for the group?
It's nice to see you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, most of my announcements were all kind of gathered up in the administrator's report. We do have a police governing board meeting on 5/13, so we will be available for that. As was noted, I attended the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and both our junior council member and council member Taylor were there for the beginning of it with the training of role of the commissioner. I think I did that training probably 20 years ago, so it was interesting to hear it all over again. But very good, insightful training there, so thank you for that. And we talked about the swearing in of the two new members, the preliminary plat for Pelletier Estates. We anticipate this one's going to go this time, right?
Yes.
All right. Hopefully. Mark doesn't seem so sure. This is our third time of having them approach us, so we're looking forward to having them here as a part of our city if they start building. And as was noted, we also had the latest concept plan presented to the P&Z members for the Lalonde proposal. With that, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
And do we have a second? I think I heard Ray say a second. I'm not going to do a roll call. I will just say we stand adjourned. God bless. Have a great evening, everyone.